is not a neutral, benign kind of thing. It is a power. It is a force. And your words matter, and my words matter. It makes a difference. Today we're going to talk about the heart-mouth connection, and your sermon note guide has a little picture of a heart and a mouth and a bunch of Emmy Awards off to the side. And we'll get to what those mean here in a minute. Okay, where did the markers get hid? Okay. Thank you. Daniel said, can I move these out of the way as long as I can find them? All right. So let's look at what Jesus has to say about our words, about the mouth, about our language. Okay, Jesus said this in Matthew 12. He says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. And you'll see here in a minute that he's referring to the tree as being like our heart, and the mouth or the fruit is like our mouth or our words. Okay, so you make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. We go out and we look at a tree and we say, what kind of tree is this? Well, I see an apple hanging there. Oh, okay, that must be a banana tree. And we never say that, right? It's like we say, okay, that's an apple tree. Orange trees don't produce apples. Apples trees don't produce oranges, okay? And so you can tell a tree by its fruit. What's Jesus saying? You can tell a heart by words. You can tell what's going on in a person's heart. This is going to be a hard one. I could just stop right there and just have everybody go home and pray about this. because we're all being convicted right now. We're thinking, wait a minute. Even today, I said some words that might reflect a heart that I don't want it to reflect. I don't want to think that those kinds of things are actually what my heart is all about. Those were just, I don't know, careless words, or I was just upset. Okay, I got frustrated. And yet Jesus lays it down on the line like, you can tell a tree by its fruit. And then he says this, you brood of vipers. I'll get to that here in a minute. How can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of what's overflowing out of the heart. So if something good is overflowing, I find this sentence really interesting because he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm thinking, other things overflow out of the mouth sometimes, like when I'm feeling sick. I don't want to gross you out or anything, but it's almost like Jesus is making a comparison. Out of the overflow of the stomach, the mouth spews, right? And now he's saying, sometimes what comes out of our mouths in the way of words is like verbal vomit. Okay? Or it's that, have you ever had somebody come and breathe on you and they got a little closer with the extra spearmint gum or whatever and it's a breath of fresh breath? For out of the overflow, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him, in his heart. But I tell you that men will give an account for on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So he says, make a tree good. That means our hearts. The tree is the heart. And its fruit will be good. We will have good words. If our heart is right, if our heart is good, if our heart is true, then what's going to come out of my mouth? Cursing? Lies? Gossip? No, if my heart is in the right place and in a good place, I'm even going to be careful about sarcasm. And Jesus goes on, he says, you brood of vipers. I find this interesting. Who's he probably talking to? You brood of vipers. Not you. I'm not saying you, brood of vipers, okay? Who is Jesus talking to when he says that? Does anybody have an inkling? The Pharisees, right? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were hypocritical. And he calls them, you brood of vipers. Here, when Jesus is talking about the words that we say, he's calling people names. And I find that really interesting. It's like, really, Jesus? It's like, this is your example? But Jesus is talking about what's coming out of the heart, and he knows what's in their heart. Only 20 verses earlier in this very same chapter, we read this last week, where Jesus did something good, and the Pharisees went out of the synagogue on the Sabbath day and started to plot his murder. What a good way to spend the Sabbath. What did you do on Sunday morning? Oh, we plotted the pastor's murder. I hope you're not doing that. And so Jesus knew this. And so this is what I'd say about that. You got to remember that Jesus knows the condition of everyone's heart. So if Jesus calls them a brood of vipers, then it's probably an accurate description of what they really were on the inside, what was really going on. Because by the time they said this, Pharisees had already started plotting his murder. And he knew it. So he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the tree, the mouth speaks, the fruit. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So our mouth speaks what's in our heart. Our words are the fruit of our heart. It's like this. Let's see. Let's draw a heart in the middle. Close enough. And I'm not really good at the mouth thing. Let's draw a mouth here. Here's some teeth, and here's some other teeth, and here's some lips, and here's one of those hanging things. The tongue. Getting a complex. I really should have asked Jenna to come up here and draw me a mouth. Anyway. It's like this. What's in my heart, or what's coming out of my mouth, reveals what's in my heart, whether for good or for battle or for bad. And if the idol in my heart, if I'm holding on to an idol, let me put it this way: trees have roots, okay? And what is the root of my heart tree? Okay, it's either going to be God, or it's going to be some kind of idol. And so I drew these little idols out here. They look like Emmy Awards, but they're idols, which Emmy Awards are often idols to people. And I put some definitions of them here. If the idol in my heart is success, if my heart is building roots out here for success, and that's what I'm setting my heart on. Okay, I completely lost a quote that I had in here. No, here it is. That's on the wrong page. Here's page 2. It goes deeper than this. Trees have roots, okay? And Nancy Piercy wrote a book called Finding Truth. And she says this about what an idol is. An idol is anything that we want more than God. Okay, so if I've got an idol out here and my heart is yearning for it more than God, okay, then that is an idol to me. I'm committing idolatry. And she says, an idol is anything that I want in my life more than I want God. If there's something I want in my life more than I actually want Jesus, then I have an idol. Okay, I have a precious. It's anything that we rely on more than God. If there's anything that I really rely on more than God, like my own talent, intellect, abilities, bank account, whatever, if there's anything that I rely on more than God, that's an idol. Or anything we look to for greater fulfillment. Greater fulfillment. That's an idol. Anything I look to for greater fulfillment. Idolatry is thus the hidden sin that drives all other sins. Okay? And she says this, why do we lie? Because we fear the disapproval of people more than we want the approval of God, who says don't lie. Or because we value our reputation more than we value our relationship with God, who says don't lie.
or we are trying to manipulate somebody into giving us something we think we need more than we need God. And so we lie because we have an idol. Okay? The more visible sin, lying, is driven by an invisible turn of our hearts towards something other than God as the ultimate source of security and happiness. Why do we curse? Because we value our own way more than we value God's. God's way would be not to curse other people. What? We get angry and curse when we have a blocked goal. So we want our goal more than we want God. Why do we gossip? Because we value people's attention on us more than we value God. So it's like this. Say my idol is success. There we go. We're back to that. And because I don't have enough success in my life, then my heart can start to become full of feeling like I'm a failure. Why is that such a big deal? Because I didn't measure up to the success I thought I should have. So I feel like a failure, or maybe I have self-loathing. Okay? If I have self-loathing and failure, what's going to come out of my mouth? I'm going to be critical. I'm going to take all that criticism that I feel in myself, I'm going to spew it out onto you. I'm going to be condemning. What about this? What if I do have great success and my idol worship is going really well and I'm achieving my goal in my life is that I'm just going to be a great success? Then what? And I feel, what's my heart proud, or what's my heart filled with? Pride. I'm going to feel proudful. And then what's going to come out of my mouth? Boasting. All right? You kind of get the picture here? Let's do a few more here. Let's do the other three. What if my idol is reputation? I got to have a good reputation. I need to be seen by certain people in a certain way. Okay, I want to have a certain reputation among people. And if my children are embarrassing me, if they are acting out, then that hurts me because my reputation is everything. You're out there representing me. Okay? And so I've made an idol out of my reputation. And when my reputation is getting sullied, or even if it isn't, I'm afraid it will be, what is my heart filled with? I have fear. And I have self-protection. And I want to protect my reputation. I want people to think of me a certain way. So if I get caught doing something that would sully my reputation, I'm going to lie about it. We'll put lying here. Okay, I might deceive. I see this in the counseling room all the time with couples counseling. It's like, I need to be seen a certain way, so I'm not going to tell the truth. If my idol is my self-wants, I made an idol out of self-wants, getting things my way. I want what I want when I want it. Okay? And so I want what I want when I want it, and it's got to go my way or the highway. And I want things my way. It's my goals, okay? My objectives, my agenda. That's my idol. And because others get in the way of that sometimes, then my heart gets full of anger. I heard somebody say one time that one definition of anger is whenever you get angry, whenever you have a blocked goal. Like somebody, I've got a goal. I want to get down the road. I want to get to the other side of town as soon as possible. And all these other idiot drivers are getting in my way. Okay? And I have a blocked goal. So guess what? Road rage. Right? And so I have a blocked goal. And so anger fills my heart. And what comes out of my mouth then is cursing, spewing hatred, sarcasm. Let me say something about sarcasm here. I'm going to preach about it here in a couple of weeks as I talk about things in general. But sarcasm many times is hidden anger or hatred. I'm masking it as as a joke, as a tease of some kind. But I chose to say it. Why did I choose to say it? Why did I choose those words? There's something in my heart. If the idol in my heart is attention, I want your attention. And I don't feel like I'm getting the constant attention that I want, then I'm going to feel ignored. Okay? What might I do? What might come out of my mouth? A lot of times, people will gossip or slander others because they're wanting attention. They're wanting to feel built up. They want somebody to pay attention to them, and so they'll gossip. A lot of reasons for gossip, but that might be one of them. What I'm saying here is that our words reveal our idols. They reveal our idols. Jesus said, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. We will have to answer for the words that we've used, because they reveal the state of our hearts. They reveal what's going on. They reveal what kind of idol, precious thing am I hanging on to now. You might be saying, wow, Jesus, that is really stern. Because I've said a lot of bad stuff, but most of it, you know, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding. Those nasty, lying, gossipy, critical, condemning curse words aren't really what's in my heart. I was just joking. But the Bible has something to say about that as well. On the back of your sermon note guide, it's got the verse from Proverbs 26, it says, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Did you know the word maniac is in the Bible? That was one of those things when it's like, wow, the word maniac is in the Bible. And I thought, maniac shooting flaming arrows of death, I have seen that. I know what that looks like. Every 4th of July in my neighborhood, all of my neighbors turn into maniacs shooting flaming arrows of death. And it's coming up, and I'm looking forward to it now, but it used to scare me. He says, like you know, somebody just kind of shooting, you know, coming out with their rifle and bam, 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 just shooting into the crowd or whatever. That kind of destruction is like one who deceives their neighbor and says, well, I was only joking. I was only joking. A lot of times we'll throw out an insult. Just kidding. Just kidding. You look fat in those pants. Just kidding. You know. Hate your guts. Just kidding. One who deceives their neighbor. It's like, hey, look over there. Ha ha, made you look. That one's benign, but really, are any words benign? A couple of things on this maniac thing. Even if you think you're just kidding, the fact is you're in control and responsible for what comes out of your mouth. And your choice of words is always going to be related to something in your heart. Give you something to think about. You're in control and you are responsible for what comes out of your mouth. Nobody makes you curse. Nobody makes you get... say hateful things, okay? Nobody makes you lie, and nobody makes you gossip. You are responsible, I am responsible for what comes out of my mouth. That is in my boundary, that is in my hoop, that is my responsibility. Okay? And the choice of my words is always related to something in my heart. Secondly, about this, the damage is done. Words spoken carelessly, jokingly, or in a drunken stupor have already been shot out there and took their victims. The tongue has the power of life and death, and we are either speaking life into our lives or we are speaking death into our lives. Our choice of words is never neutral. Now, since words reveal the heart, the way to change your words is to change your heart. What if Let me do a little erasing here. What if I didn't have any idols? My suspicion is that every single one of us, from the pastor on out, okay, has something that we kind of, our heart kind of turns toward as an idol. There's something other than God that we're pulling fulfillment from, okay? But say, James says, he who is able to keep his tongue in check is able to keep his whole body in check. You know, he's perfect in every way. So he recognizes how pervasive this issue is. But say it's just all God. Here's a theta, stands for theos, meaning God. Okay? And it's all God, and my heart is turning toward him. Okay? And there is no idol. Okay? Then what is my heart going to be filled with? Let's do classroom. What's going to be in my heart? Love. What else? Peace. Joy. Generosity. We could put the whole fruit of the Spirit up here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, contentment, self-control. Okay, and then what's going to come out of my mouth? Kind words, right? What else? Praise. Encouragement. Encouraging words. Loving words. Sometimes I'm going to say I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm going to say, maybe often, maybe sometimes I'm going to say I forgive you. Some kind of blessing. I'm proud of you. Say that to your kids. Say that to your kids until you die. You know, they're going to be 60 years old and you're going to be 85 or whatever. And I'm going to assume that you still have 10, 20 years left to live. Say that to your kids. It means the world. I'm 52. My dad tells me he's proud of me. And it's like, it still gets me. It's still like, Dad, that means the world to me. I'm taken right back to high school, you know, and feeling that. These are the words that we want to come out of the heart, because our root is in God, and we've given up idols. We've gotten rid of the idols. Next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about three categories of speech that we all seem to stumble with. Okay? And so next week will be one, the week after will be another, and the week after another. And we're going to try to pinpoint some specific help and insight into each of these categories of speech that seem to trip us up the most. Even though we claim Christ and we want to serve God, okay? But, you know, there's still those little idols kind of down there too, and so we got both going on sometimes. And James says, this shouldn't be so. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and curses. But the Christian life is a process of burning our idols. Jesus then says this. He says, by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. I had to look up the word acquitted, and you know, that's a legal term. when you get arrested for something and you go through a whole big trial and then they take you through it and they decide you're not guilty, you were acquitted. Okay? They decided that you don't have to stand the condemnation, the punishment, the sentence. You don't get a sentence of any kind. You're just set free. You can walk out of the courtroom now a free person. You know, even if you were a prisoner up until they hold you in jail till your trial, you get acquitted. You're free that day, right from that very point. Jesus said, "By your words, you will be acquitted." What kind of words are acquittal words? How do I get acquitted by my words? I put two verses there on the back of that sheet. 1 John 1:9. This is for the believer, because John was writing this to some believers, and he says, if we confess, we as believers, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess with our mouth words of confession, these are acquittal words. Confession words are acquittal words. Because then God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins of your mouth or of your heart and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then Romans 10, Paul's writing this. He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, those are acquittal words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, I had a question. Do you need to pray right now? Where you sit, you may need to say some words to God. Either one, the words you need to say this to God this morning are words of confession. God, even already today my words have not been pleasing to you, but they have reflected a yucky condition of my heart. They show that I'm still clinging to an idol or two. I confess to you, based on 1 John 1:9, I confess to you my sin and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to put a bridle on my tongue, to let no unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is beneficial and edifying. Purify my heart so that I only speak what is good and right and fair and uplifting. Maybe that's a prayer you need to pray. A prayer to the God in whom you are in relationship and he's forgiven you of your sins and cleansed you, or he has saved your soul, but you have some recent things that you need to confess and ask for forgiveness and cleansing from. Or you might be in boat number two. You need to start with God. You need to just get started putting your faith in Christ and begin to confess him as your true Lord and Savior. You need to ask him to come into your life in the first place, to forgive you for all the sins of your mouth and every other sin, and receive his salvation. Is that the prayer you need to offer up to God right here, right now, this morning? We're going to say such a prayer here in a moment. If you have never really done this, the time is now. If you would take the note guide, if you could get that out. I wrote this prayer out on it this morning. It's long. For a written prayer. But I'd like us to read it together. And some of you, it might be that this is your introduction to a life of faith in Christ. So if you would, let's read it together. Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner and my words have been sinful. Please forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from all the unrighteousness that I have allowed into my life. I am putting my faith in you today. I believe that Christ died for my sin and was raised back to life. I believe that his death was the payment for my sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. I believe that Jesus Christ is truly God and arose from the dead to give me new life, that he's alive today and will one day return for me, his precious child, from this day forward. I hereby invite you, Jesus Christ, to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior, to be in charge of my life, and I humbly give myself over to you to fill me with your love, your grace, your goodness, your peace, your righteousness, your care, and your purpose. Thank you for this great salvation freely given. I look forward to your return for your church, and until then, I will live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That was your prayer for the first time this morning. This is your introduction. This is you getting started in a life of faith in Christ. Would you let me know? Let me know. It could be as simple as taking that welcome card and marking that top box on the back. You know, put your name on it. Because I just want to pray for you and I want to congratulate you. Maybe I'll send you a letter and a book or something. But just to encourage you along, I'm not going to knock on your door and say, okay, now you got to go to Africa and be a missionary. You know, nothing like that. But just want to be praying for you. All right? Let's stand together and the band's going to come up. We're going to close our service with singing our way out of here and giving unto the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for this great day that you've given us. Thank you for our grads. Thank you, Father, for the words that you have spoken over us, that if we would put our faith in you, we would be saved, and that you love us. You died for us. You rose for us. You're coming again, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.